first, though, Elaine Gross, Erase Racism, wrote a great piece in The Hill. It's regarding that educators avoid teaching about the role of racism and oppression in American history. 8 states, by the way, folks, have passed legislation. And I believe I read another 20. They are considering it right now. So a lot of food for thought. Without question, the aforementioned Elaine Gross, founder and the president of Erase Racism, the regional civil rights organization based right here on Long Island, that exposes and addresses the devastating impact of historical and ongoing structural racism, particularly in housing, which we've discussed prior, and now, which we will discuss, the public school education, the aforementioned. Always great to have you. Really enjoyed the piece. Very enlightening stuff. And I'll tell you, you know, you have this politicizing again going on here. The back and forth, bit of a tug of war right now going on with this stuff, and has been for a while. Good to have you aboard here.
Thank you. Good morning, Jay. Good to be here. Yes, we, you know, and I'll tell you how we, you know, the background for the story that appeared in The Hill. We had an event with some high school students. They are on our student task force. They come from many different school districts. And we thought it was very important to have the student voice, because we've heard in the paper the adults arguing about, oh, we shouldn't have critical race theory. We, you know, we're dividing students. So we brought the students together at a site that, if this legislation has its way, maybe students wouldn't even hear about this site. It's the Joseph Lloyd Manor, where enslaved Africans lived. And so we thought it was important for them to go to that site. They didn't know about it. We asked students, you know, did you know about slavery on Long Island? They said no. They really hadn't learned about that in their K through 12 schooling. And so it was a very hands-on kind of situation where the students were really saying, look, we need to learn about these things. We think it is both important, but also we need to know where we live. We need to know the real history of where we live in addition to of our country. So that's the backdrop, folks. The backdrop is the students say that, you know, bring it on. We can take it. Some of the history is unpleasant. Let's face it. We don't want people to feel good about slavery. But that doesn't mean they shouldn't learn about it.
Quite frankly, in reading the piece, I mean, listen, we all know race exists as far as a reality, especially in the education system. And, you know, and that includes, by the way, whether there's integration, segregation, you know, in the schools. And, you know, these politicians, you cannot take away the fact that it exists. And parents have to realize that as well, you know. I think the bottom line is, with the diversity and everything else that exists, I think students want to figure it out for themselves, right? They want to get all the information. They want to stand it, understand it all. And they want to explore in their own right. That's the kind of what I got out of this whole thing, no?
Yes, that is it. And the way that the legislation is being written, it contains very vague language. For example, that a student shouldn't feel any discomfort. If they experience discomfort with a discussion of race, that a teacher can be deemed guilty and, you know, there can be consequences. Well, this puts a severe damper on what teachers will do. I mean, it, and there are teachers that are in the, some of the states where they have this. There are teachers that are really fighting back. They're basically saying, look, we're going to teach the truth no matter what. There was a story about one teacher who had been fired around this, not here in New York, but elsewhere. But I think that the, you know, there is both the fact that that's the job, you know, the professional responsibility of the teacher, and also that it puts a chilling effect. And it would make them very uncomfortable in not knowing what to teach, what they can, what they can't teach. So we can't get into having comfort, so to speak, being the arbiter of what can and cannot be taught. What we should be saying is that what's central is that facts are central to a quality education. And, you know, we don't have a bill like that yet, but there was a press conference earlier in the summer, late in July, where someone, Assemblyman Schmidt, was saying that he planned to introduce a bill banning critical race theory. So, you know, things could change, folks. We need to, this is something that we need to be, stay on top of, because our children, all of our children, will suffer from a lower quality of education if, in fact, these kinds of bills are enacted.
And I was reading, we're talking with Elaine Gross, Race Racism, and I was reading also, I think New Hampshire has a situation right now as far as a bill, if I'm not mistaken, Elaine, that explicitly forbids a teacher to state that an individual might be, as they put it, inherently racist, sexist, or oppressive, whether consciously or unconsciously. And, you know, when you read about this, kind of stands in opposition to the consensus of the research and how racism has operated, continues to do so in certain parts of the country. But, you know, the fact of the matter is a lot of politicians, I always go back to the politics and all this, because you have this game of political football that even involves kids trying to learn facts. And you still have politicians that want schools to ignore the type of reality, right, that existed and how we got to this point and, you know, where we are now. And quite frankly, they're not looking to address what is out there. And there's some very, very real inequalities that kids should have a right to at least learn. No, I don't understand why we have roadblocks with all this stuff all the time, you know. Just state the facts. That's all what the teachers are supposed to do, is state the facts and let the student absorb the information. You'd want that, I would think.
Absolutely. And part of the reason for the roadblock, Jay, is that people don't want to deal with the consequences of racism. They'd rather pretend that it doesn't exist, and therefore we don't need to do anything. And you brought up an important piece, too. This is sort of another part of the anti-science, if you will, because there's plenty of research that talks about the unconscious, our unconscious mind and how it operates. And so when you were quoting from the New Hampshire bill, that's the kind of critical piece in there. Is basically denying the unconscious, and included is unconscious bias. And there's plenty of research around this. And, for example, there have been, by MIT and the University of Chicago, I believe it was, doing a research of sending out resumes with different names, either to have it, you know, it's either like a white name or a black name, based on how people are naming their children. And they did this, you know, for a few thousand resumes, and they did it with higher salaried positions and lower salaried positions. And you know what happens when people are dealing with hiring? They get a whole bunch of resumes, they're going through it quickly, and part of what's happening is their unconscious brain is making assumptions. So even though the resumes for with the white names on it and the resumes with the black names on it were actually the same or equally qualified, statistically, there were more callbacks for the white name. And I think that's implicit bias operating. Because I've been in that situation where you have a whole pile of resumes, and if you're not really conscientious to make sure that you go through it a couple of times so that you're not just making some initial quick response, it's easy to make to have that unconscious brain push aside people that had the resumes with the black names on it.
Yeah, so, and I think a prime example, Elaine, is the 100th anniversary, right, of the Tulsa Race Massacre, which destroyed 30 plus blocks of a renowned black community, resulted in the deaths. I think it was 300. I think 300, as many as 300 black individuals. And you talk about hiding the truth, and I was reading where you have the newspaper down there, folks, which is the Oklahoman, this year found that a majority of Oklahomans learned about the Tulsa Race Massacre. We just had the 100th anniversary. 1921 it took place. Outside of school.
Right.
So think about that. That should be an integral piece of history in that neck of the woods, and it is not. That is the shame of it all. Elaine, great stuff. I implore people to go to thehill.com and read a very important piece Elaine wrote, op-ed piece. Great stuff. Elaine Gross, president of the Civil Rights Organization, Race Racism. Good stuff. Keep up the good work. We'll talk next time, my dear.
Okay. Thanks, Jay.